And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice, Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Rancho Leonero, where your wildest Baja dreams come true. Shimano Rods and Reels, fish with the best, Shimano. Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Sandin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, right here on the Let's Talk Hookup app on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. Pete Gray here with Rock Cod Rick Mexa. We're in the world headquarters of Let's Talk Hookup here right next to the San Diego Landings with Jeff Clausen from he's an author. He's kind of a legend in surf fishing.
I mean, doubt.
Author. Yeah, it's like this guy's been around. I mean, since the early days, right? Yeah. 91 with the start of the show, and so he's been there, done that, and written a couple of fantastic books and created amazing lures here that we're talking about here and having a lot of fun telling stories.
No doubt, man. It's been a great show. Lots of great information, and we got another full hour of it talking to Jeff, and we're looking forward to it. If you want to join us in that second hour, 213-432-1090 is the phone number. Or, again, send us a text through that Let's Talk Hookup app. We got tons of great text message questions coming for you here in the second hour. And make sure you include your contact info when you send us a text, because we're giving away an awesome prize at the end of today's show. And thanks to the generosity of Jeff, one lucky caller or texter decided by the coin flip at the end of the show is going to win one of each of Jeff's great books and going to get a T-shirt and the 2024 Bill Varney sport fishing calendar.
Yeah, and you can get through on the phones right now, 213-432-1090, or send us a text. But before we do that, Mike from the Tribute has been patiently waiting. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. How's it going?
Doing
What's
great.
Up, Mike?
Give us the good news. You catching them?
it was good. It was really good.
Right on.
We just got in this morning. Turner's sponsored day and a half trip, and we had limits of bluefin yesterday up to probably just about 50 pounds. I mean, the fishing lately, the trip before that, we ended up with 50 bluefin up to about 70 pounds. We should have had limits on that one. Some of these fish have been exceptionally mean. And if you look at our Facebook page, I mean, the amount of bait, the amount of anchovies, the amount of squid that's been out there, like, these things are chunky. They're little butter balls. Like, it would make a great replacement for a turkey on Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I like your style, man. Yeah. I like your style.
That's great. So, yeah, just, I mean, exceptional fishing yesterday. There's been a little bit of fog, and we were running on a spot of birds yesterday, literally trying to beat the fog to it. And once we got on it, it took a few minutes to get going, but fly line and 30 pound was the best bet. And about 2 minutes after we stopped on that spot, we were completely engulfed in fog. You could barely even see the bow, but wow. We sat there and just absolutely fantastic fishing this time of year. You wouldn't know if you were outside the harbor. I was actually talking to Ryan on the San Diego when he was coming in from that trip, and you don't know the difference. There's no swell. There's no wind. There's no nada. I mean, it is it's pretty darn enjoyable.
That is so cool. You know, Mike, last week you called us. It was limits of yellowfin. This week, limits of bluefin. It's happening, man.
Yeah, it's November.
Great.
Yeah. Awesome. So if somebody wants to go on the Tribute, you have spots available coming up? Are you doing some trips?
Yeah, we're out Friday night. We just got some stuff to do here throughout the week. So I'm kind of bummed that we're not running tonight. It definitely would have been a good night to get out, but we do on Friday. I think there's only like 7 spots left. Sunday night, Pete Sport sponsored trip. There's plenty of room. There's room throughout the week, but you know, it's this time of year. You start doing a little bit of a roller coaster. There's some ups and downs. We haven't had a bad trip lately. We've had some very good trips, but it's, you know, guys are, oh man, the season's over. And then yesterday at one point, you look around at every single boat out there was drifting, catching bluefin.
Wow.
So rare. And, yeah, both, like, the San Diego had a, I don't know, what, 107 yellowfin or something on their three-quarter day.
On a full-day trip.
Like, on a full-day trip. So, you know, it's just one of those things. Like, the surprises keep coming, and the weather is just ridiculous.
Yeah. Gotta love it.
So nice right now.
Gotta love it. Well, if somebody wants to ride the Tribute, how do we do that, Mike?
You get Seaforth Landing, call 619 224-3383 or seaforthlanding.com. TributeSportFishing.com, and I'll be putting up some more pictures. I'm really bummed I didn't get some better pictures of the spread that the guys from Turner has put out. I mean, one of the raffle prizes was a two-speed accurate. I mean, the guy basically came out, caught a limit of bluefin, and went home with a $900 reel. So, not the worst way to start November.
Yeah, Turner's always does a great job on their sponsors trip.
They have so much giveaways, so much that was put out. We love our sponsors. We got a bunch of them, you know, Seeker, Akuma, Pete Support, Turner's. Like, the fact that they come out and they give away so much, and, you know, especially with new guys trying to get into the getting into sport fishing, like, it gives them a really good start. I mean, guys went home with new rods, reels, gear, and just I literally tried talking to one of the skiffs fishing next to us yesterday that didn't seem to be doing it right. I'm like, you need to come out on one of our trips, and we'll tell you how to do this properly.
Yeah. Instead, he just, like, sits on your stern and tries to poach you.
I tried pointing him in the right direction. I don't mind if guys fish around us as long as they're not ruining it for us. Hey man, go 200 feet off our bow, rig up a 30-pound outfit, maybe put on a sinker, and I don't know. I think it offended him, but I was really trying to point him in the right direction.
You were trying to help him out. Yeah. Listen to the guy. No, for sure.
Yeah, if you're going to be out there, you might as well do it right.
Right. Yeah. Well, Mike, appreciate the reports, and hey, we'll talk to you real soon.
Okay, Friday night or Sunday night, give C4th a call.
Well, we're planning on another report from you next Sunday with limits of something. If you had yellowfin in the last one, bluefin on this one, we want to hear about limits of big eye on Sunday. Thanks, Mike.
Okay,
appreciate the call very much.
Hey, I have a great text from Norman in San Diego. Are the big ones still down there, he says. Those were some really fascinating tales from Jeff of Baja Big Fish and the show's open. I wonder if you still see larger specimens that you did years ago.
Yes.
That's a good question.
Yeah, very good question, and there's actually an answer for that.
Yeah.
Back in mid-90s, in 95, 96, prior to that, we were catching, like I said, huge rooster fish, big jacks, you know, 20, 25-pound jacks and big Sierras and everything. Then all of a sudden, around 1996, it stopped. We had a really bad season, 96, 97. There was just no fish, and we couldn't figure out why. And then we found out there were poachers coming from Mazatlan. Mm. Because as I was saying earlier, I don't remember if we were on air when I said it, but fish are migratory. All these roosters and the big snappers, the big pargos, they come.
Where do they migrate?
From
the mainland?
From the mainland, yeah.
Really?
Yep.
Even the roosters?
Yeah, especially the roosters, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah, so they come across and they touch it down in Cabo Pulmo.
Huh.
That's where they hit, and then they split. Half of them go up to Sierra Cortez, the other half go around Cabo. Anyway, these Mexican pangas were coming over from Mazatlan. They would bring a great big freezer truck over on the ferry, and then they would net all these huge rooster fish and pargos.
Oh.
And just slam them, just pack these 18-wheelers full fish.
Oh.
And then they took them back to Mazatlan and sold them as pet food for about 12 cents a kilo.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And they completely wiped out the rooster fishing, certainly for the big ones, for several years.
Right.
And then there was myself.
That was in the mid-90s?
Yes, that was like 96, 97. And myself and Pete Thomas and the governor of Baja, the sewer at the time, and Bobby and Warmer, you know, we got involved with the Mexican government and, as well as some local people there, and they declared Cabo Pulmo a fish sanctuary. There's only two in Mexico, and that's actually one of them.
Yeah.
So they stopped all that, and it took about, probably 7 or 8 years to come back, but it has come back. There's definitely large rooster fish down there, large jacks.
Oh, yeah.
Back to normal. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, 50.
And so they don't really target one thing, a hats off to the Mexican government, because they're really kind of getting a lot more conscientious about the preservation of species down there, not just allowing these massive die-offs of or kill things.
Yeah, well, look what they did. did in the Sea of Cortez. They stopped all fishing there, all commercial fishing, you know, 30 years ago.
Right.
And now it's back to almost to where it was.
Coming back.
50 years
ago. Yeah. So, yes, you can still find big roosters down there.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you were going one place to catch a big rooster, question. Where would you go?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I've surf fished all over the planet, and there's no better place, in my opinion, than the Pacific side of Cabo, you know.
Really?
Tonos
Santos?
From Solmar Beach, from Land's End, all the way up to Tonos Santos. There's no better.
On that side?
Yep, on the Pacific side.
Wow.
Yep, the biggest snook, you know, we've caught lots of 40, 50-pound snook on that side. We've caught all the biggest rooster fish, other than, of course, my one I caught at Gordo. All the biggest ones I've ever seen have all been on the, even though the all-tackle record's out of La Paz. Abe Sackheim, I know him. So. Well, I don't know him, but I know his record. But,
What was the record?
How big
the fish? 114 pounds. And it was like 1960.
My gosh.
Wow.
And I've seen bigger ones, like I told you earlier. Yeah. I've seen much larger than that.
Yeah. And those are big ones.
It's a matter of time before somebody gets one.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen some big ones, like that one that Bart Hall caught at Rancho Lanero. It was like a 90-pounder.
Yeah.
There's big ones.
Yeah, no, they definitely get some big ones. The thing about the East Cape is that you don't get a whole lot of them from shore, the big ones, because, you know, there's not a lot of surf activity there.
Right.
It's fairly calm. So the most of them are caught by boat, you know, live baiting and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But the fly fishermen are getting them, you know, from shore, that's smaller ones.
Yeah. But so the surf is really what helps the surf fishing,
right? Oh, absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. Look at the big waves. They crash right on them. It drops really fast. Like literally 100 yards out on the Pacific side, 100 yards out, it's probably 150, 200 feet deep. And so these waves crash right on the beach. And what that does is it stirs up all the crabs and the mole crabs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And
all the life.
Brings all the smaller fish in, all the moharas and you know, stuff like that. And then the roosters and jacks come in.
You just have to be careful not to get swept out.
Treacherous surf.
You ever had any situations where it was like, oh boy, I could die?
Yeah, actually, I took this group surf fishing. There was more than normal. I normally only took three or four. And this one day, it was a family of about eight. So I took them, and we were up north. We were about half an hour outside of Cabo fishing on the Pacific side. And I was trying to keep an eye on everybody.
Sure.
You know, and the first thing I did was I give them a heads up on what to watch for and where to stand and that. Well, anyway, there was this one woman, and she had to be like 400 pounds. She was there. And she got nailed by this wave. And it just bowled her, took her right into the ocean. And I'm like, oh, my God. And we're trying to find her, you know. And
you didn't see her?
No, we didn't see her. Like, she was
sucked under.
Just took right under. And, like, we're looking around trying to find her. And everybody's, like, you know, in a panic.
Of course.
And all of a sudden, he's laughing. And I look, and she's about 100 yards down the beach, she rolled up onto the shore.
Oh,
she was laughing hysterically.
Oh, jeez. I had no idea that she almost died.
No idea, you know. And that was a close call.
Yeah.
And then we've had incidents with sharks, too. You got to be careful about sharks.
Really?
Yeah. I have some great stories with sharks.
Well, you're standing in the surf and it's running right at your feet.
Oh, yeah. I got attacked by a bull shark one time.
Really?
Yep. And, again, it was with a bunch of people, and they were mostly drinking beer and sitting on the beach, and I continued to fish. And if I hook up a fish, I pass it off to one of the people.
Sure.
So I did. I hooked up a 15-pound rooster fish, something like that, and I passed it to this guy. That story's in the book, by the way.
Oh, it is. Okay.
So he came in. We were standing knee-deep in the water. I handed him the rod. He pulled in this rooster fish. And I grabbed the fish, and I'm trying to get the lure out to release it. And all of a sudden, everybody on the beach is yelling. And we're turning, looking at them, and they're pointing at something. And I turn around, and all of a sudden, there's this great big splash in front of me. And it was very surreal. And all I saw was red and white and black.
Oh.
Yeah. And the incident ended, and the guy standing there in front of me, the angler, and he's looking at me, and he's got this shocked look in his eyes. And I look down, and I'm completely covered in blood. Like, I'm soaked from head to my shorts. It was covered in blood.
Your blood?
Well, that's what I thought. So we get out of the water, and I'm still holding the fish. So we get out of the water, and the guy faints, and I had to drag him out of the water and get him up onto the beach. And everybody's looking at me, and they're all screaming, and some people are crying, and it was just crazy. And I look down, and I'm just covered in blood. And so I start feeling myself all over the place and, you know, everywhere. And realize that it's not me. And then I look in my hand, and I'm holding the head of this rooster fish.
Oh, shit.
And I watched it. It was about a 300-pound bull shark swam off. He had came and took this. He took this fish right out of my hand.
Right out of your hand.
Right out of my hand while I was trying to release it. Oh. I didn't even see him. He came in like a bullet. And just,
Oh, yeah. They live there.
Hard pass.
Yeah.
Hard pass on that one for me. That's a great story,
Jeff. Yeah. Well, let's find what's out from our FishDope.com reporter.
You got it, buddy. Our time for our FishDope.com report. And today it's sponsored in part by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, the best processing for your fish when your trip returns. Plus, with Fish Pros, the market, you can purchase their famous spices, their rubs, the poke kit. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street or order online at Fisherman'sProcessing.com. Be sure you make those reservations by texting them at 619-255-3128. We got your saltwater guide, Captain Dave Hansen, on the line. Good morning, Dave.
Good morning. Can you guys hear me?
We got you loud and clear, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Jeff. Good morning, Pete, Rick.
Good morning.
Thanks for having me on the show. I love fishing the beach down here in Baja. It's one of my very most favorite things to do. But as far as fishing goes up in Southern California, it's absolutely incredible the amount of squid that pretty much showed up everywhere. Like Gundy was saying before I got on here, it showed up big time up there in the upper end of the Santa Monica Bay, the condos area. There's squid there. There's squid all over the Channel Islands. There's squid at Catalina. There's squid up and down the coast from Huntington Beach all the way down to La Jolla. There's so much squid right now. I think we're just in store for one heck of a wintertime sea bass, yellowtail type fishing. It really, really looks insane right now, the amount of squid on the beach. And then Catalina is still fishing very, very well, very consistent. Freelance was over there last couple days. They found quite a good sign of yellowtail on the backside on the kelp lines. And then there's still a little bit of sea bass to catch over there. And then here we are. What? It's November 5th and we're 6th and we're talking a 5th and we're talking about bluefin and yellowfin still between the beach and the Cortez Bank in U.S. waters. That's pretty insane. There's really no reason to put your fishing poles away, gang. I think we're in store for just one heck of a winter after this phenomenal summer we had.
Yeah, no kidding, man. And, of course, Danny and the boys at FishDope.com have been keeping on it, and we'll tell you, it's still time to go fishing. $20 off a new membership to FishDope.com using the code HOOKUPNOW, lowercase, no space. HOOKUPNOW is your $20 code, and that's the cool thing about FishDope.com. It doesn't matter whether it's November, December, or mid-July, you can get it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, FishDope.com. And, Dave, how do we find you?
Gang, check me out at yoursaltwaterguide.com. You no longer have to fish for boats. With Danny working together with me, FishDope and Your Saltwater Guide, we get you right on top of the fish and show you how to catch them. Thanks for having me on the show today, guys. Have a great rest of your day.
All right, thanks. Yeah, you don't have to be getting instructions from Mike on the Tribute about how to catch fish. You can get it right from FishDope.com. I appreciate that, Dave. All right, talk to you next week.
Appreciate it, Dave. And that's going to wrap up our catch report. Hey, I want to remind you, Norris Lithium Batteries, they're here in Southern California, designed specifically for marine use. Norris Lithium features prismatic cells for extreme durability, solid connections, longevity, and reliability. Also, the Norris Guardian Advanced Battery Management System allows you to monitor the health and charging status by using an app on your phone. Norris also makes a complete line of kayak and electric reel batteries. Make an investment for the best for your boat with Norris Lithium. Check NorrisLithium.com for more information and a dealer near you.
Yeah, and with swordfish biting these days, a Norris Lithium for your electric reel, Norris Lithium battery for the electric reel would be perfect.
That's a good call, dude.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt about that.
All right.
Well, phones are packed up and the text, too. Yeah, I really did. I thought this was just a fun story. And it just started off saying, holy smokes, Jeff is still kicking. What a great deal. My friend Jack and I fished with Jeff many years ago, several times. What an adventure. Isolated beaches, and the isolated beaches were as incredible as the ride in his old truck. That was from Dan in Mission Viejo, Mission Lakes in Catalina, and also said that this show is bringing back all kinds of super fun memories.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for that.
That's cool.
I thought it was
cool.
So fun.
Well, if you want to get through, 213-432-1090. Let's jump into the phone.
Mike in San Carlos is up next here on Let's Talk Hookup. Good morning, Mike.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Hey, Mike.
Morning.
Oh, good. Yeah, one thing. When I get a Parker,
I'm going to name it the winner, the intrepid winner, and also the intrepid amateur, because that's what I am. So,
all right. Yeah. Got fishing, well, good call, Mike.
Fishing in my blood. Yeah, I got fishing in my blood. All my kids have been fishing since they couldn't reach the rail on the boat, and we're going to go soon.
Good. Hey, right. Thanks glad a lot for the call this morning. Appreciate that very much. Hey, I have a great text here from Dane in Huntington Beach. Good morning, guys. Great show. Love fishing the Sierra Cortez. Jeff, have you fished the backside of Isla LaGuardia? What is your most memorable catch there?
You know what? I have not. That's kind of, I know of it. I've never really been up there.
But there's lots of cool islands in the Sea of Cortez. Have you fished any of those? Or you're mostly from the beach, though.
Yeah. So I've been up there. I did some ponga fishing and that out of there. But mostly my time in Baja was really more surf fishing stuff.
Yeah. Did you ever fish up Loretta Way and stuff like that?
We'd catch some yellowtail up there off of shore, not really big ones or anything like that. The farthest I've seen rooster fish up there, although I hear they get them all the way up to Bahia de Los Angeles, but I've seen them as far as the south side of Loreto maybe, and that's pretty much it. But mostly surf perch kind of stuff up there from shore.
Yeah.
O'Hara's.
Yeah. Can you get some nice, Cabrilla fishing?
Matter of fact, we did, over in San Carlos, on the other side.
On the other side.
We did, one of my shows we did over there, and, we were catching, using plastics, we were catching, I thought at the time they were juvenile leopard grouper, but I guess they were just spotted cabrilla.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. And thousands of them.
So,
they were just
so
there.
The word cabrilla, is that a general term?
Yes.
That just like, it's kind of like a bass, right?
Yes, yeah. And actually, the difference between a cabrilla and a grouper is, which they're basically the same kind of fish.
Are they?
The cabrillas have rounded tails. Groupers have square tails.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So anything you catch that's got a rounded tail.
A rounded tail.
Yeah, it'd be a spotted cabrillo or a Panama Graysby or something like that.
Rounded on the outside.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Versus a square tail.
Yes. Like a broomtail grouper they're serrated, basically a square
tail.
Yeah.
And that's a grouper.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, but leopard
grouper.
Pretty,
very close relative.
Yeah. Yeah. Groupers tend to be larger fish.
Yeah.
You know, the cabrillas, I think a spotted cabrilla, I think if you get a 20-pound one, that's pretty good.
Yeah. So no name and no phone number, so they're not eligible for prize, but I want to read this text. It says, "Hi, guys, listening from the Crow's Nest Pass in Alberta, Canada.
God, are you
just
kidding?
Wish to congratulate Jeff on his amazing success in the sport fishing world. Really enjoyed all your great stories in your book, Tales of Sport Fishermen, Volume 1. Great cartoon illustrations, amazing photos, and some hilarious fishing tales. Enjoy your visit with these guys and have a great weekend."
Okay.
You know who that is?
Yeah, I think my mom lives up there.
So. Ah! That's cool.
Could be mom.
Good job, mom. Yeah, that's right.
So you're originally you're Canadian.
Yeah, I'm from Calgary, Alberta. Originally.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I haven't lived there forever. But.
How in the world, living inland in Calgary, Alberta, did you get the surf fishing bug?
Well, I was fishing since I was a kid.
I
caught my first northern pike when I was 4 years old.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I was hooked since then, and my grandfather, and then, like I said, I started going to Baja in the late 80s and fell in love with the place and decided to move there.
I read in the back of the book, in the back cover of the book that you had, fished all these amazing locations, including Midway. What was it like fishing Midway?
Oh my God.
Midway Island.
So few people have experienced, got to experience that.
Yeah, I was really lucky. There was, back in, I think it was 96 or 97, they decommissioned it as a military base. And there was a guy named John Bone who was, I think he was a United Airlines pilot. He got the fishing concession for Midway. And he flew me over there in 97 or 8 to see if there was any surf fishing possibilities right. there. You know, because the it's notorious for the giant trevally and the right. big tuna and stuff. So I went over there, and I got to spend a week there. And that is the most incredible. I think of all the places I've ever been in the world, I've never had so much more fun or learned so much about U.S. history and everything than Midway. It was a fantastic place.
Yeah. I was there... Fortunate enough to go there 3 different times.
Oh, wow.
And, yeah, and we used to host trips there.
Yeah.
And did you ever go?
No,
you never got to go. Yeah, I would agree with you. It's probably one of the most spectacular adventures I've ever been on. And it's not that far away. I mean, you fly into Honolulu, and that's a 1,200-mile flight west to Midway.
Yeah.
But I remember standing on the rocks there and hooking giant trevally.
Yeah.
And just not stopping them. It was just fun to hook them. Couldn't stop them.
There's no chance.
Do I have time to tell you a little short story about Midway? Okay, so one of the things in Midway there was, you know, because it's very environmentally protected, right?
Yes.
They have the big giant Goonie birds there. And
right.
the monk seals, you know, whatever.
Yeah, the Hawaiian monk seals.
But anyway, so they have these, I think there's like 500 of these monk seals, and they're all numbered. They paint the numbers on them. And there's all these, like, tree hugger types going over there mostly. They were French and Swiss and stuff, and they would hang out in the trees. They'd build these tree houses, and then they'd sit there with the binoculars and they'd watch these monk seals. So I was walking around the island trying to surf fish
sure.
I could catch. And every so often, one of these French guys would come running down, "You cannot fish on the beach because it's a monk seal," you know. And I told him, like, "Yeah, I can fish here." And he said, "Oh, you're molesting these seals." And I'm standing there, and there's a seal sitting like 2 feet away. He's laying on his back. Give a darn that I was there, you know. So I kept telling these guys, no. So I had all these clashes with these guys. Well, anyway, the last day I was there, I was on the pier there, the big long pier where they had the ships. And I was throwing one of my poppers off there, and I hook up a small yellowfin tuna, about 5-6 pounds. And, of course, it drops down to the water. It's about a 15-foot drop. And I'm thinking, and I'm only fishing 15-pound mono line, I'm thinking, how am I going to get this tuna up, you know? And so it's kind of bobbing in the water. Well, all of a sudden, one of these monk seals comes out from under the dock and grabs my tuna.
Ah.
And he's holding on to it, and I got my popper in the tuna's mouth.
Oh.
And these treble hooks hanging right by the mouth of this seal. I'm thinking, oh, my God.
The environmentalists are going crazy.
Oh,
for
sure. So I just yank on this thing, got the tuna up on the dock, and fortunately I didn't hook the seal, but I could just imagine.
Oh, totally.
You'd have been in jail.
Oh, if I had hooked it, and, of course, my name's on the lure.
Right? Great.
Yeah. The seal takes off, and then these guys in their binoculars, what is that in the mouth?
Such a shame that they stopped the concession.
Well, it was 9-11, you know. 9-11 was
it. Yeah. Well, and then Bush made the thing a sanctuary, so you can't go there anymore, unfortunately. But it was—I think I've told this story before, but I actually got to go scuba diving because I was there.
Oh, yeah, fantastic!
And,
did you see us at the war stuff?
Some of that. But the most memorable dive that I did was we anchored the boat and looked down, and there was hundreds of white-tipped reef sharks under the boat. And I'm looking at the dive guy, and I go, "Are you out of your mind? We're jumping in there." And he goes, "Don't worry, you just jump in, and they're going to go away." So I jump in. Sure enough, they go away. And then we're exploring these caves and stuff. And I got inside one of the small caves, you know, just like lava tubes and stuff. And I was in there with about an 80-pound giant trevally.
Oh,
and this fish did not want me in his cave.
No way.
Like, it was scary.
Yeah, they're
nasty. Like, you get the heck out of my zone here. And I was like, okay, I'm out.
Wow.
There was a big trevally.
Oh, yeah. They got monstrous.
Yeah, for sure.
In the times you went there, I mean, obviously all fishing, was it always fishing GTs and reef fish like that, or was there offshore fishing?
Oh, there was phenomenal offshore fishing when you could get out, because, you know, it's Hawaii,
sure.
and wind blows all the time. But I remember guys catching 500, catch and release with 500-pound blue marlin, a lot of wahoo and dorado, and yellowfin tuna. Yeah,
oh, cool.
But and the big dog tooth tuna.
Dog tooth. But the coolest thing, of course, was inside the reef fishing for the giant trevally.
I'll bet.
That we used to, I don't know, you had this experience, though. They had these giant tiger sharks in the reef.
Yeah. Okay.
And the trevally would follow the tiger sharks and kind of eat the feed off of the tail. So you used to cast your baits right behind these
tiger
sharks that were literally as big as the boat you were fishing
How
on.
How sick is
and,
that?
And catch like 80-pound trevally.
You know, on Discovery Channel, they have that Shark Week.
Sure. Yeah.
So while I was there, the week I was there, they filmed, because what happens is those Goonie birds, they hatch their babies and in about May or so, they learn how to fly. So they take off.
Right.
And they can't land on, they can't take off from the water. So three quarters of these Goonie birds, they hit the water, the chicks.
Right.
And then they just bob up and down there. Uh-huh. And these tiger sharks come in there and just gobble them up.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so we watched that. So Discovery Channel was there while I was there filming the documentary.
Oh, wow.
And it's still on Shark Week.
Is it really?
Yeah. 20 no. years.
I remember that was the afternoon cocktails. We'd sit there and watch the Goonie birds getting lunch. We were having cocktails on the veranda there.
Yep.
Yo, it was...
Yeah, crazy.
You know, that place... I had no idea, and I'm sure you didn't either, how special that place was when we were there.
Really,
and you look back, and it's like, there's nothing like that.
Wow, no kidding.
And you can't go in there anymore.
No.
Such a shame.
No, I thank God I was able to go.
What was the biggest GT of all the trips you guys remember seeing out there?
I caught one that was 90 pounds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, yeah, we had one.
Yeah.
We were catching like 40s and 50s, and then one, I remember throwing a Ranger, actually, over the reef, and I was hauling it in, and this... Trevally came up, and he had to be 100 pounds or more. And I watched him. He swam up behind the lure. And then right as he got to the boat, he flipped over on his side, and he turned black.
Like, wow.
He was just lit up.
A giant.
You know, they do that.
Sure.
They turn absolutely pitch black like your shirt. And he looked at me, looked at the lure, and then swam off. And I'm like, oh, my. And I was scared. And that thing was so huge.
Yeah.
Was, they have attitude, those
people. Yeah, and there's no way you're landing that.
No way.
Yeah, not in my life.
Why not?
Yeah.
That's awesome. All right. Hey, when we come back, we got a lot more Let's Talk Hookup coming your way. We got more of your phone calls, more great stories with Jeff. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hey, we're so lucky here in San Diego. We have fantastic weather and great fishing. We also have three great shops to take care of anglers. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by Johnny, is certainly one of the best. We have you covered from bay bass to big tuna. Plus, we have Doug, one of the finest reel repair guys around. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. Cheat and the guys have the best rod and reels, the hottest lures, and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, growing their stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check danalanding.com for more details.
Long range fishing, nothing beats Shimano. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. Come check out the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. The Talica features Shimano's Hagani body when throwing jigs. The Shimano Trinidad is your top choice. With the extreme cranking power and Shimano Super Free Spool provides extreme castability. You'll be able to put your jig in the Wahoo Zone. For all your Shimano needs, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego.
Safe travel should always include travel insurance. This is Bob Dawson at Dawson & Associates. We offer many different plans, from one-year plans to single-trip plans. Traveling twice or more a year, an annual plan will cover most every trip that you make. Also, if you get injured on a trip, it'll fly you back home or fly you to a hospital of your choice, and it's worldwide coverage once you're 100 miles from home. So call me at 619-990-3068 or go to safariglobaltravel.com.
Turner's Outdoorsman, Southern California's number one shooting, hunting, and fishing tackle retailer since 1971, is right in your neighborhood. Now with stores throughout Southern, Central, and Northern California. No one does it better. Turner's Outdoorsman brings you the best prices and selection, plus a knowledgeable staff that will help make your day on the water or in the field more fun. Stop by your neighborhood Turner's Outdoorsman. To find a location nearest you, check the web at turners.com and sign up for special deals and more.
Gamakatsu has always been the name in fish hooks, but now they're making a name in fillet knives. Custom-designed Gamakatsu fillet knives feature G-grip handles for secure grip, built with 420 J2 stainless steel and a diamond-like carbon finish to retain the edge and resist rust. The Gamakatsu fillet knife comes in a variety of shapes and sizes and even comes with a durable sheath for protection. Gamakatsu also makes amazing everyday carry knives, too. Get Gamakatsu knives at your local tackle retailer or at Gamakatsu.com.
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. What a great show today has been. So much fun hanging with Jeff and all these great stories. Man, phones are packed. Text R2. What a great time.
Yeah, let's jump into the phones, Rick.
Let's do it. Let's talk to Jim. Jim's calling us from National City this morning. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, good morning, guys. Before I get to my question for Jeff, what a great job, Ricky, you and Pete did yesterday at the show, man. I'll tell you, and Dallas and her friends kept the drawing moving right along, and all the wonderful vendors she had there. What a great show, guys! But anyway, my question for Jeff, and it might be off the board a little bit, but you know me. I love going to Mexico fishing the surf, but I've had one or two instances where I've spent 3 hours in line crossing that border. Now, I know about the Century Pass, the Global Pass. I got turned down for my Century Pass because of my criminal record. I mean my driving record. And,
okay, gotcha.
I guess that's what it was for. They never told me why I got turned down, and they said they would. My last letter from them was, we don't have to tell you why we turned you down. But anyway, I will reapply. Maybe, Jeff, you know a good way. I just spent too many 3 hours in line trying to get across. Did you have a special way of getting across the border in your heyday?
He just
coming
stayed
from
there.
Mexico?
Yeah, he lived there.
Are you talking about Tijuana?
Probably.
Yes. Are you talking about crossing the Tijuana? Yeah, you know, Tijuana always scared me. I drove Baja 50 times coming up here to buy stuff for the shop and everything. And every time I got through Tijuana, I just wanted to get out of there, coming and going.
Yeah.
And, unfortunately, I mean, I had problems all the time there, too. I remember towing a boat down one time. And I went to the wrong border crossing, and I had to go all through downtown Tijuana towing a boat.
Oh, yeah, that's fun.
Yeah, and I had a great big Dodge Ram 2500, and towing this 24-foot center console.
Super easy to get around there, yeah.
Yeah.
It's really built for
I had to hire, a taxi driver to get me out of that city.
Yeah.
But I've always had problems at that border. I ended up changing, what is that one that's?
Otay?
Yeah, Otay. Yeah,
Otay's way easier.
Yeah, it's way easier.
Yeah.
Through
so next time, try Otay. Yeah, it might be way better for you, Jim.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for the phone call this morning. I have a great text here from Jimmy in San Marcos. He says, I'm headed to the Gulf side of Northern Baja for about 4 weeks. What kind of fish could I expect to catch inshore in the surf?
You mean on the, are you right on the, on,
yeah,
you mean like
in Baja,
San Carlos?
Northern Baja, like, yeah.
Like on the other side, like on
the Cortez
like,
side.
On the Cortez
okay.
side.
Yeah, well, there's, again, like I was saying earlier, most of the fish that I've caught from shore there are either some type of a corvina. I'm not even sure what kind of it was. We caught a bunch of those, and then also those spotted cabrillas. There's a lot of them there. Not really huge fish. Most of those spotted cabrillas were under a pound, but they were a lot of fun. Anywhere where there's rocks around there, which is quite a few places around there, there's you'll find them in there. Plastics, little, you know, twisters and stuff like that.
That's cool. Hey, well, the phones are packed up. Everybody wants to talk to Jeff. How about we jump back into them and talk to Eric calling us from Valley Center. What's up, Eric? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, good morning, guys. Great show as usual. I was just wondering, I'm going to be heading down there in a couple of weeks, and we're going to Punta Abrejos and House of Beach Fishing from, like, Rio Negro to Punta Abrejos.
Yeah. It's really not that great over there. You know, I stopped all the time, all the way up the Baja. Every time I did the drive, I'd stop in all these places. And, again, it was mostly, once you got out of, the first quarter of Baja going back up, it was pretty much all, you know, mojarras and, you know, different kinds of surf perches and, corvinas, croakers, a lot of yellowfin croakers, that kind of stuff along there. Small spoons, baits, you know, I used to use, a lot of those mole crabs, you know, sand fleas, I guess they call them.
Yeah. And you're talking fishing from the beach.
Yeah, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well,
is that what he meant?
Yeah. But it's too bad you weren't at Tackle Day yesterday at Fisherman's Landing because you could have talked to Lawrence from Fishworks, and Lawrence actually has a house down there, and he was telling me about how incredible the grouper fishing is from the boats.
Oh, yeah.
And stuff like that. Yep. Yeah. So,
yeah, golf groupers.
So that's something you might look into is hiring one of the local pungueros and have them take you out,
yeah,
because you can catch some good fish.
No doubt, man. Yeah. That was really fun.
Yeah, that's always the way to go.
Lawrence also has this really cool Fishworks shirt with a grouper on it.
We joking. So Jason Hightower is our rep for Fishworks, and he does an awesome job. Probably one of the best sales reps we have. He's fantastic,
and he's also Seaguar too.
That's what I was getting. That's the story I was getting to. We liked that shirt from Lawrence so much. The shirt's brand new, so this was all in fun. But Doug told Jason like, if we don't get that shirt in the store, like, we're not buying another spool of Seaguar until you get that thing done. You know, obviously all in fun, but that is a really cool shirt. And that's the thing, like, you know, that whole Baja trip and line that Fishworks has, that's all the adventures of Squig, you know, like everything is inspired from all those Baja trips. That's a really cool line of stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and to Pete's point, I mean, the best thing you can do at any of these places you go along the way is find a local guy just to, I always look for the commercial fishing because I love bottom fishing. I love grouper fishing and snappers and the red snapper, the roe snappers, all these other ones. And the first thing I do is I look for the commercial guys, and usually they don't bother you. You know, I find a local commercial guy to take me out and show me the ropes there. And that's pretty much rule of thumb anywhere you find new along the places.
There you go. Just so true.
Yeah.
Hey, great text came through. This was, good morning, Jeff. What is your go-to outfit and lure for cabrilla fishing? Also, what time of year do you feel is best? That's from Bruce in Lemon Grove.
Bruce, you're talking about cabrilla fishing like from shore or from shore? From shore. So I normally have two surf fishing rods, one along the rockier shorelines, which are for the cabrilla and the leopard grouper and snappers and stuff. I'll use this like a 9-foot rod. Like everyone else, I kind of switched to braid a few years back, but 50-pound braid on a nine-foot spinning rod. I like Daiwa reels for some reason. I've always liked them because they're longer, narrower spools. They make some $200, $300 reels that are just fantastic, mm-hmm. that last you forever. But, 9-foot, 50-pound braid, that's all you need. You know, because it's not distance casting you're doing. It's just targeting in between rocks and stuff like that.
All right.
That's great.
Cool. Let's jump back on the phones.
You got it. How about this time we talk to Chris? Chris has called us from Hawaii this morning. What's up, Chris? Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup.
Hey, man. Hey, good morning, fishermen.
Aloha.
Hey, great stories. Yes, aloha. I'm here on the Big Island. I got a small little double haul. I run out of Hilo. But, hey, great stories from Baja. I grew up there fishing Redondo Harbor for Bonita.
Mm-hmm.
And I moved over here. I pound the shoreline for ulua's. I used to. My biggest one, using a puhi eel. You got to match the bait that they're eating, right?
Uh-huh.
79 pounds from shore. But I pulled a lot of 60s, 40s, 30s. Oh, yeah. And I had a couple where I casted it out, and they hit it, and it just broke. I used to use a pen 650, 40-pound Andy with 250 liter onto my eel.
Right.
Oh, my God, the action I used to do.
You spent some time in Hawaii. What lures on your website reel one in Dot com would be good for him to use in Hawaii.
Actually, all of them. The lures that I have up there now, I think there's six different ones, and they all do different things. There's a couple of topwater ones. There's a couple that are shallow divers, but they're all fairly large lures. I spend a lot of time in Fiji. I go to Fiji every year, and very similar, you know,
yeah.
fishing the rocks and the reefs for trevallies and stuff. And I was there this last May. I'm going again this May, and I probably caught 20 different species of trevallies and snappers and stuff and on all those lures. I mean, there
wow.
wasn't one that was better than the others.
That's
so
cool.
Yeah, it kind of narrowed them down.
So get on over to his website yeah. and get some of those lures and catch some different fish. Hey, this is a funny text here we got from Dan in Mission. He says, Mission Lakes and Catalina. So, holy smokes, Jeff's still kicking. My friend Jack and I fished with Jeff many years ago. What an adventure. Located beaches where they're incredible. Was riding in his old truck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know that Suburban that.
Yeah.
I think he's talking about the Suburban we had. I had a friend from Colorado, Tom Meyer. He was my kind of cohort. He was my guy that helped with the surf fishing trips. He actually took two old Suburbans and put them together to make one.
Ha! Oh, get out of here.
Yeah. That's funny. And he couldn't drive it legally in Colorado, so he took it down, and that's what we used for.
That's rad.
Yeah. He was a killer.
Perfect Baja rig.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
cool. Well, hey, I had a fun text as well. It says, hey, Jeff, have you ever bumped into or caught tortuava from the beach in Baja? That's from John in Huntington Beach.
Yeah, no, I haven't. You know, they're up north. You know, they're pretty much fished to extinction, and they've made a comeback as well. I don't know what the legal ramifications are for actually targeting them. I know you couldn't for the longest time. But I've caught a lot of the corvinas, which is tuatua is a corvina family fish. I caught a lot of them, mostly over on the Pacific side of like Mazatlan south.
Okay.
Mazatlan, there's tons of those
really?
Corvinas over there. Yeah, but
what's the average size of the corvinas you catch down there?
Probably there's two types. There's the orange mouth, and then the other one I can't remember the name right now, but. There's two different types. One of them gets to about 10, 12 pounds. The other one can get as high as 30.
So,
whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So usually if you get a 5 to 10 pound.
Orange mouths are the most common ones.
Yeah.
There, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We catch them up here. The other one is a short fin. You think it's the same one down there?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's probably the same one.
I wonder which one gets bigger. Probably the orange mouth.
I think the orange mouth are the big ones.
The big
but I
that's
I could
the ones we used to catch in the Salt Sea, right?
I believe so, yeah. Again, I'm no expert on it either, but I believe that the orange mouths are the bigger, the short fins are the smaller.
Someone told me that they released 5 rooster fish into the Salt Sea one time.
I heard that story,
did
too.
Did you hear that?
Yeah, I don't know.
I wonder
know
if they ever made it.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think anything's
I don't think a lot of stuff made it out of
there. Not anymore, unfortunately. It used to be one of the most prolific fisheries in the world.
Yeah,
to be out back in the early 90s we used to go out there and just like 100 fish days on the orange mouth corvina. It was so much fun on plastic, but no more, unfortunately. Sad. I don't know, something changed. Maybe they'll cycle back, you know. Things are cycling. Hey, let's jump back on the phones, Rick.
You got it. Have only talked to Tom. He's caught us from Temecula this morning. Good morning, Tom. Welcome to Let's Talk Hookup. Looks like we might have missed Tom there, so how about we try Jim? Jim's caught us from Orange this morning. Good morning, Jim. How are you? Looks like he just dropped. Well, we did have a good text. It says, I was fortunate enough to fish Midway in 99, and for the most part, it was an amazing fishing experience, probably the most amazing of my life. He said, catching all sorts of reef fish in the lagoon, wahoo, tuna, blue marlin, less than a mile out the harbor. I'll never forget the variety of fish that you could catch from the beach, as well as the bird nests everywhere. Thanks for the great memories. That was from Chris. Sounded like an amazing experience you guys got to have.
Yeah, Chris, you joined the club. Yeah, that was a good place.
That was cool. This one from Chris in San Marcos says, Jeff, I remember your old videos from surf catching big roosters in the surf with your lures. The best is watching taking them over the falls. And so what was your hottest lure back then? I mean, what was and do you still sell that on your website?
For surf fishing?
Fishing. Like if somebody wants, everybody wants to catch a lure rooster fish.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just like the ultimate.
There's been so many people try to knock this lure off. I've seen 20 different people try and make it, but the Ranger is still it's just, you can't beat it.
Yeah.
You can throw it 130 yards. I mean, it's an ugly lure. It's
so ugly.
It looks, you can't even imagine.
The hook sucks.
Yeah, everything.
It's a dumb shape.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it nevertheless, I've taken that thing everywhere on the planet and it's caught everything.
How has it not been knocked off? Because you're right, it's such a relatively simple shape. It's kinda...
I can tell you why. As a matter of fact, there's a chapter in the book about the Ranger lure my paparia. The Ranger was invented by a guy named Bob Simon. I met him on the beach at the Pedregal in Cabo. And he was 80 something when I met him. I was sitting on the beach. I'd been fishing for 2 hours, never caught a fish. This little old guy comes up walking past me with his surf rod, and I'm thinking, this, you know, and the waves are crashing. He walks up to the beach, throws some lure out there like 100 yards, and bam, nails this rooster fish, pulls it in. I'm watching. He fished for an hour and a half, made only 5 casts, and he caught 5 fish. So I went up to him and said, "Hey, what are you throwing out there?" He said, "Oh, it's the lure I invented called the Ranger." And he was he worked at NASA, apparently. He was a computer programmer at NASA in the 60s and the 70s. So on one of those big old house-sized computers, he designed an aerodynamic lure.
No kidding.
Yeah, and right down to the materials in it. So it's a
explanation.
It could not be knocked off. I've seen a bunch of companies do it. You know,
Just can't do it.
They make it, you know, Williamson. That looks.
But it's like hollow, right?
It's not.
It's not.
But it's a special blend of PVC and stuff that only he knew. He had the recipe for this thing.
What's funny is if you saw this thing and it was sitting in your hand, you would swear, well, this is the most rudimentary, I'm fascinated hearing that story because it looks the opposite of what you're describing. Yeah. But there you go. That's why it wasn't knocked off.
And you fish it just skipping on the surface.
Yeah, you wing it out there and just kind of keep it up on the top, and it flops around. It looks ugly.
And they eat it.
It somehow imitates a fish.
Everything eats. Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah. I've got tuna on them. Yeah. Lots of mahi.
I know it was a good wahoo food too.
Yeah. You always keep a rod on the boat with one hooked up, and if you get into a bunch of schooling dorado or tuna, you can throw them out there, and they'll hit them just as easy.
I love it. Yeah. Hey, when we come back, we're going to find out who's got Jeff's great books, shirt, calendar, and more. You stay tuned. It's Let's Talk Hookup with the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Back in 1979, my parents started Fast Lane Sailing Center. They lived in a VW van in the parking lot and sold catamaran sailboats. And over the years, the shop has evolved. They've sold everything from windsurfers to barbecues, paddleboards, and trailers. Here's the point. For over 40 years, my parents, and eventually me, my brother Jared, and sister Ava, have been in the business of fun and making memories on the water with friends and family. If something's in the shop, it's a product we use, are passionate, and knowledgeable about, and want to share with you. We encourage you to come down to our shop, Fast Lane Kayaking on Mission Bay, and check out our huge selection of Hobie Mirage kayaks, accessories, and more. And let's get you on the water, fishing with friends, enjoying the coast with your family, or exploring mountain lakes in solitude. In other words, having fun and making memories.
Season long-range fishermen know that the Red Rooster 3 is the finest fishing vessels in terms of technology, design, speed, comfort, and safety. This 105-foot sport fishing yacht meets every demand for comfort while delivering an unforgettable fishing vacation. Captain Andy Kate and crew are experienced, friendly, and sincere in their desire to help you have the trip of a lifetime. Book a trip on the Red Rooster 3 and you'll be back. Trips go fast. So check RedRooster3.com or call Lee Palm Sport Fisheries at 619-224-3857.
In San Diego, the future belongs to everyone. So Ford engineered the truck of the future for everyone. The Ford F-150. Available with a Pro Power onboard generator. What a great addition for anglers. There's also a variety of cab configurations for whatever you need to haul. The truck of the future isn't created for just a few. It's created for us who love the ocean and the outdoor life. Ford F-150. Test drive one at your local San Diego County Ford dealer today. They'll be glad to hook you up.
For your next fishing adventure, check Point Loma Sport Fishing. They offer half-day trips on the Daily Double and full-day trips on the Mission Bell every day. Perfect for novice or seasoned fishermen. Point Loma Sport Fishing also offers overnight to multi-day trips on the American Angler, Vagabond, Intrepid, Independence, New Loan, T-Bird, Game Changer, and more. Visit PointLomaSportFishing.com where you can purchase tickets online. Want to go fishing? Point Loma Sport Fishing has you covered.
Hook up!
Welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup. All right, it's time. Jeff's going to do us the honors, flip the prize coin, see if our winner's coming from the caller or texter side.
All right,
here we go.
Do it to it.
Three, two, one.
All right, today we have a caller. So congratulations, Eric from Valley Center. You have got yourself both the books, T-shirt, and that great calendar. Man, you are totally hooked up. Congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations. Yeah. Jeff, thanks for flying all the way to Florida to be out here. So great to see you again after all these years. And like the texter said, still that you're still kicking.
Yes.
Still driving that big thing, fishing the surf, right?
That's long gone.
So if somebody wants the books, your lures, your stories, everything, your art, of course, how do we find you?
www.realonein.com and you can
it's a number one.
At number one, yeah.
Real R-E-E-L,
the number one, I-N.com. If you want to just send messages or say hi or questions or whatever, you can do that through the website as well.
Yeah, so just go right to the website. Yep. It's a great website with lots of good stuff.
And if you can't remember the name of the website and you want a book, you can also get them on Amazon.
Yeah, and it's, of course, Jeff, just K-L-A-S-S-E-N, Jeff Klassen. Hey, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it. Thank you out there. Thanks to JP for manning the phones and the board. And thanks to Adam for all he does on the Let's Talk Hookup app. Thank you for listening this weekend. We have a couple of great shows next Saturday and Sunday. John Ireland from Rancho Leonero in Baja's East Cape will be here. A farewell tour for John next Saturday. And then next Sunday, Captain John McCarty and Chris Root from McCarty Yacht Group will be here. Yeah, that's going to be a good one for sure. Thanks for listening today. We'll see you next week right back here on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio and the Let's Talk Hookup app.